Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Very interesting passage here today that we find the history or the time that wisdom has expressed the fact that wisdom is eternal with the Lord. And we've said before that this wisdom of God, the wisdom of God and Christ, they're together. They cannot be separated. But in one sense, they can be as far as we're concerned, as far as what we receive from the Lord. There is a wisdom that God gives us with Christ, yes, a discernment that we have when we receive him. But then there is a wisdom that we get when we ask for it, when we desire it. And that's what the book of Proverbs is consistent in telling us, that this wisdom of God is something that we should long for, something that we should ask for, something that should mean everything to us, because everything goes from that or comes from that in our relationship to the Lord and our relationship with one another. And so that it's impossible for us as human beings to grasp the wisdom of God. It's part of his attributes, of the attribute of omniscience. There's the omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence. Omnipresence, did I get all three of them there? Sometimes I call one the same thing. All-knowing, all-present, and all-powerful. The attribute of wisdom is from omniscience, his all-knowing. And he knows it all. He knows from the beginning to the end. He knows what could happen. He knows what happened. He knows what is happening. He knows what could happen. And that's, when we get into what could happen, that's beyond us. You know, we might know what's happening now to a degree, and what happened way back then to a degree. To a degree, if God tells us or we were there. But when we're talking about what could happen, we just don't know. We could speculate. A lot of speculation goes on about the attributes of God, about the decrees of God, about what he did, what he's going to do, what he knows could happen. You talk about the kingdom of heaven offered to the nation of Israel, the kingdom offered to them. We talk about what was his plan with Adam and Eve. A lot could be said about this. But what we need to understand is what is described here is in this passage that we've looked at today. This passage, basically, verses 22 through 31, is wisdom expressing how important wisdom is. Now, this is wisdom speaking. Again, it is inseparable from Christ, and most all of this could be applied to Christ, so to speak. There are some things here we don't believe that it's Christ himself speaking. I do not believe that. I'm not convinced of that because it says, I, wisdom. And if we made Christ this wisdom, then we would need to do that consistently throughout the book of Proverbs. But we find that this is separate, but it's not separate, because you cannot have Christ without wisdom, and then there is a divine wisdom or a wisdom that's given for specific days and for specific times. You see, that's what Solomon received from God. That's what Solomon had. That's what David had from time to time. And people have had it that asked for it, that wanted it, that longed for it, that realized the importance of it. Now, this wisdom, let's begin reading back here. Look back to verse 22, and I'll read you a verse for reference. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before the works of old. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding he hath established the heavens. So when we're looking at creation, we're looking, and when we're going back to the beginning, when it talks about this beginning here in these verses, verse 22, the beginning of his, what beginning is he talking about? God did not have a beginning. God has never had a beginning. God has always been. You say, well, I don't understand that. How can he not have a beginning? Well, if he had a beginning, he wouldn't be God. Whoever made him would be God. And then whoever made him would be God. And then whoever made him would be God, if God had a beginning. There, he has to be eternal, completely, totally eternal. And so this concept of understanding where the beginning is talking about the beginning of the world, or beginning of creation. In John chapter 1, that's what it's talking about. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Christ has always been God. He's always been the Word, and he never had a beginning. He never had a beginning. Now, there was, when he became flesh, the incarnation at Bethlehem, God became man without ever ceasing to be God. And so, as far as humanly speaking, he had his beginning then, but he existed, Father of eternity. He's always been. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, chapter 9, verse 6, the everlasting Father, the everlasting God. Now, we see in this passage, the beginning he's talking about here in this passage is the beginning of creation, because that's what's being described here, is creation and the importance of wisdom in creation. Can we see that? We can see the wisdom of God in all of creation. Even when we look in the mirror and get a good laugh. Right? Or a cry, or whatever, we see creation. God did this. Now, don't blame him. I mean, sin, I mean, we're living a sin-cursed world, and we grow old and die and all that. But God's the one who made us, and he made us. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And we've talked about that. We've talked about the fact that the way he made our body, gave us eyebrows to keep the sweat out of our eyes, and eyelids to protect our eyes and eyelashes. Isn't that amazing? It's just amazing. He put fingernails on the ends of our fingers that we can scratch our head. I mean, he just knew what he was doing, didn't he? The way a hand moves. And I can't move it the way I used to. We won't go into detail there, but our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. Science cannot copy what God did. And not only that, able to reproduce. So this beginning of wisdom, the wisdom was present with God in creation. Speaking, I believe this passage is telling us the importance of wisdom and how important it is for us to have wisdom, to desire wisdom, to desire to have that instruction and knowledge from the Lord. Because ultimately speaking, the reason God did all this with us in this world is for his glory. And we have to remember that. And so what he's doing, the steps he's taking with our life, in our life, is for his glory. What he does is for his glory. And he works it for our good when we love him, right? Romans 8:28. When we love Him, He works all things together for our good. So we want to see the importance and the fact that wisdom's been there all along. And so it's not something new. What Solomon was sharing with his children is not something that was new. And again, this is God speaking. The inspiration of Scripture through Solomon, the inspiration of the Word of God. And so it's the inspired Word of God, so we don't have to worry about it being the Word of man. It's the Word of God. Now, God quotes man in the Scripture. We understand that. We understand the difference there. But notice it says in verse 23, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was, when there were no depths. And he's given a picture here of creation and this, what the Lord did in creating the world, the universe. When there was no depths, I was brought forth, when there was no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree. Now he's going through the details here of creation and seeing where he's reminding us of the magnificence of creation. I mean, sometimes we forget, don't we? We just get going on in our own little world and we forget about what God did to make all this possible. The oceans, the sea, the way it rains. And of course, back before the flood, it didn't rain like it does now. There's a like a dew, heavy dew, and water from down beneath, the fountains of the deep. And there, it was differently. No seasons upon the earth before the flood. But God did all that, didn't he? He did it. The earth is tilted in just the right way where we can have seasons. And so there's so much that testify of the greatness of God. But you have biologists, you have physicists, you have those that are astronomers, and you've got geologists that are saying, oh, this just happened. Yeah. It just, you know, it just, there's too much order for there not to be an orderer. There's too much detail for there not to be a detailer. We know that this could not have happened just by chance. It happened by order and divine decree and by the Word of God. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Amen. By faith, we understand that. And the reason that we take it by faith is because I was not there, you were not there when it happened. Right. We see the evidence of it, don't we? You see, faith is not blind faith. Godly faith, true faith, is not blind faith. We know that this got here somehow, and I know that it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does in believing the creation of God. Far more faith to believe that, because it makes no sense. Well, I don't want to get off on that too much. That's another lesson. But it's part of this. We understand that, and we're not theistic evolutionists either. A theistic evolutionist is one who believes, yeah, God created all this, and then millions and billions and trillions, billions of years. How many billions are we now? I don't know. I lost count. How many ever billions ago God created it and then just turned it out there and turned it loose and everything evolved and came to be what we are today? Well, that's not what the Bible says. And, well, like I said, we have complete species, by the way. There is no, and just for a moment, think about how different the human being is than the next smartest or most intelligent creature. Was that the chimpanzee or is it the dolphin? Porpoise? I don't know. But I haven't heard of a chimpanzee planning vacation lately. They hadn't got enough sense to do that. And if they had any sense, they'd do that, wouldn't they? They go on vacation every once in a while. There's no increase in their intelligence. There is in their learning what they are trained. I mean, they can be trained to do certain things. They can be trained to do a lot of things, can't they? But as far as basic intelligence, what about the intelligence of man? Intellect, emotion, and will is what we have. Animals don't have that. And so just the gap in the next whatever step down is just too great for there to be considered for evolution. Also, what would cause such a change? For the human brain to evolve the way that it did, apart from other creatures, what would cause such a change? And for things to change in evolution, they have to go through so much of this or so much of that. I mean, like, what was it? Did you ever hear that little thing? I once was a tadpole that swam asunder. No, what was it? Once was a fish that swam asunder. Then I was a tadpole with my tail tucked under. Then I was a monkey swinging from a tree. Now I'm a professor with a PhD. Yeah. You see, those little tadpole-like creatures were swimming around down there, and they kept bumping into each other, and they thought, man, it'd be nice if we had an eye where we could see where we was going. And so they grew an eye. They don't live long enough. Things don't live long enough to evolve like science says they evolved. They won't last long enough, even if it were possible. It's beyond understanding, really. Look at verse 28. When he established the clouds above. You ever looked at the clouds? Ever seen faces and different things the clouds form? You ever seen a thunderstorm start rolling in? A wall cloud? I used to live down south, grew up in North Georgia, and of course tornadoes a lot around down there from time to time back in 71. I think it was 71 where we had the day of 100 tornadoes, the one that took out most of Xenia, Ohio. Do you remember that? That day? They were all over the place where I lived down there, and it was so black and dark the clouds were, and I always wanted to see one, but just not up close. Damn. You know? It's kind of like a snake, you know? You don't mind seeing it as long as it's not up close. But I always wanted to see one in person, I thought. We were down in Alabama one time, and we had a day off, and we went down to the center Alabama to fish a little bit, took my wife and kids, and we went down there, and it was in the month of April. And let me tell you what, there were, again, tornadoes all over the place. Didn't see one. But there was dark clouds that looked like they were no higher than this roof here. Never seen anything like it in my life. And we were praying. But God did all that. He did all that for a reason. And the beauty of the heavens, the sunshine, the stars, so beautiful. Man did not do that. It didn't just happen. God did it. He appointed it, it says. He established the clouds above when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, verse 29. When he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment. You see, the sea has to obey the Lord. When he appointed the foundations of the earth. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight. All rejoicing always before him. Notice in verse 31, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. So there's a connection here with, there is a point where wisdom connects with men, with people, with created mankind, and becomes available. God makes his wisdom available to man. Isn't that wonderful? It's not that we're going to know everything that God knows, but we can know what God would do or what God would want us to do. Right. We can know that. We can. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Right. What does a good man do? He asks for wisdom. Who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. If any man ask wisdom, it says in James chapter 1, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally. That means a lot. And upbraideth not. That means he won't scold us for asking. He never gets tired of us asking for wisdom. Isn't that amazing? You know, we have children, grandchildren, you know, and they're asking for this and asking for that and asking for this and asking for that and asking for this and asking for that. I remember my dad, there was something, I don't even remember what it was that I wanted, and I asked, it was a BB gun. I wanted a BB gun. I wanted a Red Ryder BB gun. And you know how I got it? By asking for it repeatedly. He said, I might as well get it. I remember Dad telling my mom, he said, I might as well get it for him because he's not going to leave me alone till I do. Shazam. Isn't that something? He got tired of me asking for it. The Lord doesn't get tired of us asking for it. He just gives it to us because he wants us to have it. Because it brings glory to him. God is honored and glorified when we ask for wisdom and we use wisdom. When we allow it, when we do things as a result of his giving us the direction and the instruction and the knowledge to do it. He receives glory from that. And so wonderful. It says, look at verse 32. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Notice how many times here we got in verse 32 it says hearken. Verse 33 says hear. Verse 34, blessed is the man that heareth me. There it is. Look at that. Keep going. For whosoever findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Now, flip back over again. I want us to look at this again. Chapter 1 of Proverbs. There's folks that were not here for that lesson and want us to all understand always the definition of a wise man, the definition of a foolish man is found in the first few verses of Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 5. A wise man will what? Hear, and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Now, so the Lord, and that's godly counselors that he brings into our lives. Look down at verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. They don't want it. I mean, you can try to tell them, they don't want to hear it. So the child of God, I should desire to hear from the Lord. I should want to hear his instruction. I should want to hear his direction. Now, when do we ask for help from anybody? When we need it, right? Usually we don't ask for help from somebody unless we need it. I mean, that's just natural and normal. But when do we recognize our need for help? That's it. That's the point. How and when do we recognize our need for help, and then where do we seek help? Do we seek it from the Lord, or do we seek it from someone else? Well, first of all, we seek it from the Lord. He might lead us to someone else who can help us, and I'm so glad the way he does that. Isn't it wonderful the way the Lord brings people into your lives that help you at that time that you need help? It's amazing how he does that. It's like he knows. It's like he knows. Isn't that something? So, in this passage, listen to Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Luke chapter 11, verse 28. But he said, this is Christ speaking, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. I'm going to read you some verses here that has to do with staying in the way of the Lord, hearing his commands, hearing his word, hearing his way. Now, obtaining wisdom, first of all, we must become familiar with the word of God. That's where we're going to get the answer. Somehow, some way, he's going to give us the answer through his word. It might be by precept, directly, or by principle, indirectly. Precept is directly. Precept is indirectly, principle is directly. So the point here is that we allow the Word of God to speak to us. We learn the Word of God. We look at what God has said. We listen to what God has said, and then we apply it to our life. Faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's no accident that verse says hearing, because it's talking about us receiving it. You say, well, what about when I'm reading? Is that that's hearing it. It's receiving it into our hearts and into our minds. We're receiving it. It's talking about that. That's what Jesus said in verse 28. He said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Romans chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. This is that verse. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, this is Christ speaking, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Isn't that amazing? It all comes together. The hearing, the receiving, the obeying, because the obeying comes in us doing what the Lord said. Then in James chapter 1, verses 22 and 25, listen to this, through 25, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. And this is a good verse, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 33. We were just really over there. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Is that the answer? I believe so. I believe the children, the sons are given instruction here. We're all given instruction here that wisdom is the answer from God. It is a submission to the will of God. It's a submission to the Word of God. It's a understanding of what the Word of God is. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And God uses His Word to direct us and to help us. He also uses it to correct us, doesn't He? That's why we know that the Word of God was given by God, not by man. Because man wouldn't write all those parts about the correction if it were just up to him. But man, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote what God gave, and that's what we have, and in many cases it's correction. You see, the Word of God will correct us if we need correcting,
right.
And it'll comfort us when we need comforting. Heard a preacher say one time, he said, I'm here to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. Being comfortable in your sin or in your life, in your behavior. I'm here to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comforted. Comfortable. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. I like that. I want to be quiet from fear of evil. I want to be able to trust in the Lord, know everything's going to be okay, going to be all right. Now let's look at these last couple verses here in this chapter. Verses 35 and 36. Whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and they and all they that hate me love death. That's strong language, isn't it? All those that hate me love death. If you want to use the entire book of Proverbs or all the Word of God and figure out who it is that hate wisdom, it's foolish folks or those that are involved with folly. Because there's life. Look at verse 35. For whoso findeth me findeth life. The finding of wisdom is life is going to result and shall obtain favor of the Lord. That's good too, isn't it? Oh, to have life in favor of the Lord. What, is there anything better than that? Have favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Sounds serious. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, it's a serious verse too. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? If we reject His word, how foolish that would be. Amen. Doesn't the Bible say the fool has said in their heart, there is no God?
That's
right. Psalm 14:1. Well, it's not just the atheists that are foolish.
Right.
And we got, is it National Atheist Day's coming up soon, isn't it? April 1st. April Fool's Day. That's National Atheist Day. I'm sorry. Listen to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. If we want life and we want favor with the Lord, obtain favor of the Lord, then we have to have the Son, don't we? And the Son must be exalted in our life. He must be the Lord of our life. Now, I understand there's this concept of lordship salvation. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about us allowing the Lord or following the Lord in our life because He is the Lord. He is the one that we're to follow. He is the one that we're to emulate. He is the one that gives us the pattern. Even in temptation, He gives us the pattern, doesn't He? When He was in the wilderness, used the Word of God, tempted in all three points like as we are, yet without sin, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. He used the Word of God. In all ways, we're to follow Him, we're to emulate Him. He is our example. He is the supreme example. You know, it's good to follow those who are following the Lord, but the Lord must be the one that's followed, you see. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have Him today? If you don't, you can. You can receive Him. As the Scripture says, that today is the day of salvation, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray together.